Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org. Adorning Christ and His Gospel. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Very grateful that you've taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and always we are very grateful to bring these broadcasts to you. Visit us on the website at www.agradio.org. Well, as we begin another week here on Abounding Grace, I'm going to go back to the Psalms, and today on Abounding Grace and working throughout the week, we're going to look at this wonderful Psalm 5. So I'll read Psalm 5 today and give you a sense of exactly what's going on here in this psalm. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch, for you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their innermost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Well, in light of that psalm, let me begin here today. I remember being in college years ago, and my parents were visiting, and I brought them to the church that I was attending. That day, after about 20 minutes of rock and roll, the pastor decided on a whim that he didn't want to preach. The people, he said, needed a break, and he took a break. We went home, and I'll never forget what my father said to me. He looked at me, and he said, "Son, I raised you better than that." You know what was most troubling? It wasn't just that he was right, but it's that I didn't see it for 6 months of my life. What do you do when you come to worship? Why do you go to worship? Why do you get up on Sundays, and why do you go to come to the house of the Lord? Do you do it because you know you should? Is it because you've always done it? And what did you seek in coming? Did you come because you want to experience something? What is it? Why do you come? Well, all of this is answered today here in Psalm 5. This psalm begins with a cry, and then by the end of the psalm, it's a psalm full of joy and shouting. I want everyone to consider with me verse 7. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. I will bow down in your presence. And then he cries out, "Lead me in your righteousness, O Lord." This psalm is David asking the Lord that he would be, it's a beautiful psalm, that he would be led to a proper fear and reverence of God. Lord, help me to see things as you see them. Help me to fear you as you desire to be feared. Tell me to worship you as you desire to be worshiped. Psalm 5 is interesting because this psalm is not so much about the act of worship as it is a preparation of the heart for worship. And what a wonderful psalm. What a wonderful psalm this is for considering why worship is so important. In the superscription of this psalm, you'll notice that you have things like flutes and a musician. And if this were on our terms, we're kind of expecting something far different than what is here. Because in verse 1, we read something shocking. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. Now, if down in verse 7, he's anticipating coming to worship in God's house, here is David preparing his heart. This is a psalm of preparation for coming to worship. He says this in verse 3, I will pray to you in the morning. In the morning, I will prepare a sacrifice for you, and I will look up to you. This is the language of the priests in the morning who would prepare the sacrifices on the altar. I don't know how you prepare for worship, but there's something here that really strikes me today. This prayer is so earnest. Notice the language. Give ear. Consider. Listen. I'm listening to this prayer of David in Psalm 5, and all I can picture is David on his knees, bowed down, arms out, crying out to the Lord in earnest and fervent desire as he delivers in full concentration of mind the most heartfelt, single cry, sincere cry to the Lord. This is a man after God's heart. He is so fixated on the Lord Jesus. In this psalm, what devotion you have. Haven't you desired this? That what is coming out of my heart and coming out of your heart would be serious, persistent, unwavering desire for the Lord, filled with such trust and heartfelt devotion to your Savior that you're unwavering. David is preparing his heart to come into the presence of the Lord. And his heart and mind have been completely engaged in calling out upon his name. Let me ask this today, dear listener. Have you ever struggled with feeling like nothing is happening in worship? The whole experience at times maybe feels empty. We've struggled with that. Haven't you felt that at times? There's no energy. We've made the assumption, of course, today, and we look over the fence and we try to find churches that are doing really exciting things. But what we've made the assumption is that the problem has to do with the worship itself, haven't we? The act of worship. So we've tried to fix this. We need this in the sermons, or we need this for worship. The experience needs to be better. So we have come assuming that there are certain things that have to happen in worship that need to meet our needs. And we've tried to fix that to have a better experience. Let me ask this question. How much time do you give before you come before the Lord to prepare your hearts for worship? When you pray before you go, assuming that you do, what are you asking of the Lord? What are you asking from Him? What burdened you? Did you prepare? I ask that because it will have a bearing on your experience in worship. I never grasped this as a child or a young person, what worship was. I didn't get it. As a young child, I remember numerous times my father yanking me off the floor. As time went on, I became a teenager, and I'll never forget, I would nod off in the pew, and there would be a giant head jerk, and everyone around me knew, there's that Gordon kid sleeping again in worship. I had no idea of what worship was. I stayed out the night before, I got up the last minute, I dragged myself to sit there, and then the experience wasn't any different watching others. I saw everything from mints dropping on the floor to people walking in late, some people reading newsletters, others knitting. And if the pastor was long-winded that day, well, you had an escalation of coughing and people rising up to go to the bathroom. Here was my conclusion, that I and many others in the life of the church had no idea what we were doing in worship and why we were there. It was merely a social club. And so because of increased dissatisfaction of getting nothing, we thought the answer was to dress up worship to help us engage better. I mean, we lived this for years with the worship wars. Remember going through the worship wars and everyone arguing about worship? David Fettes wrote an article years ago, and I always kept this article. I thought it was a powerful article about worship, and he said something interesting. He said, "We worshipers seem to forget that we are in the presence of a holy and an awesome God. Many churches go out of their way to make the worship more inviting and exciting. We preachers try to weave something colorful into our sermons to get people's interest. But interest in who? The living God or the clever preacher? The praise leaders try to have better music and better tunes, a more bouncing tune. But what are we interested in? Exalting the mighty acts of God or the fun singing of a bouncy tune? People go to church out of habit. They expect to be finished on time and consider it a success if a good time was had by all." Fettes says, "Do you realize when you go to church, you're entering a danger zone? If you get careless, it can destroy you in a moment. I raise all of this today because I didn't grasp what worship was at all for the majority of my life. And you see, there was God's servant delivering his word, God's word. There we were having proclaimed to us about the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here's my question today on Abounding Grace. Do you think we've missed something, maybe because our priorities are all wrong when we come? In other words, why do I need to be in worship? Why do you need to be in worship? If there's no preparation for that, it means really, do we understand why we need to be there? And you see, that brings us to the greatest question of this psalm. This is Psalm 5. Why is David crying out? He's crying out as he's anticipating coming to the Lord's house, but what is burdening him? Hear my cry. Give ear. This is earnest prayer. Did you notice the first previous two psalms here in Psalm 3, specific things were happening. He's being attacked by enemies. Psalm 4, people are speaking against him. But here he's crying out. You know why he's crying out, dear listener? It's verse 4. "For you are not a God who takes delight in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." David looked at the glorious holiness of God. And you know what he realized? No sinner can stand before him. And David is overwhelmed with grief over the problem of sin. And you see, dear listener, until we've come there, realizing how grievous sin is in offending this holy God, we will never really be prepared when we come before the Lord to get the right answer from him. Yes, he desires a broken and a contrite heart. Why? That he might lift up the worshiper. That the worshiper might be encouraged to see that God did something overwhelming. God gave his son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You'll never truly be transformed by that message until you see things as God has defined them. We're sinners, dear listener. God's wrath is burning, and he will destroy in hell. But all who believe and turn to his son have access and are covered to come with boldness by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org. is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.